Hello everybody, and welcome to this interview on Nintendo World Report. I'm your host, Mr. Dan Koopman, and we are here from the past coming to you to the future. The future of video games is now. Somehow, I don't know really. With me today is the always lovely Brian from Image and Form.
How are you doing, Dan? Good to be with you, always.
It's the third time. Unbelievable. Yeah. But we have talked in person like way more times. So it's like the sixth or seventh time. I'm not sure even anymore.
Well, it's like I'm preparing a room in my house for you to move in because probably the person in the game industry that we talk to the most and who I enjoy talking to the most as well.
I should come to Sweden sometime.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I should think about that. So, we are going to talk about a new game, but before we do that, before we actually kick off with the actual topic of today, I kind of want to know how things are standing with Image and Form. Is SteamWorld Dig still selling well? And how has the launch on other platforms been? Because it has been released on 3DS first, but it came to other platforms a little bit later.
That's a great question just to kick it off with. It's kind of interesting because we had just had the 1 year anniversary of the 3DS release. It was released in the beginning of August 2013. Mm-hmm. And before that, we were largely just nobody, in the games industry. And all of a sudden, we have become very interesting. And of course, it's been a tremendous year for us in all respects. We've had such positive response on SteamWorld Dig, and we've also grown as a company. When we made SteamWorld Dig, I think we were 8 or 9 people mm-hmm. around release. And now we are 17 people on the payroll. So it's grown quite a bit. But it's fun to say that the focus is still where it's supposed to be. We are working on one game at a time, so it means that we have a huge team, at least by our standards, working on one game.
Right.
And SteamWorld Dig is still selling, and it's still selling quite all right. On the 3DS, we've had a very steady following. Mm-hmm. I think there are still quite a few people who haven't picked it up.
But pick it up.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
but we see sales every day, and once in a while we make sort of promotions, and you see the sales numbers shoot up. And mm-hmm. then also after the 3DS release in August last year, we released on Steam in December 2013.
Right.
And that's been very, very interesting to see because it's a totally different marketplace. It seems like nobody or very few people are ready to buy it at full price. When we make any kind of promotion, you see sales spikes immediately.
That's pretty damning then, that if that Steam people necessarily don't want to buy something that's full price.
I think it's also historically how it works. I mean, Valve has Steam sales 4 or 5 times per year. That means that if you just wait couple or 3 months for a game that you just read about, you know it's going to go on sale.
Right.
So it's you sort of have these opportunities to if you can just hold off a little bit, you sort of get it at a sales pit, or promotion.
Right. Right.
And then obviously it's maybe it's not good for the industry in the long run that people get used to this sort of pattern, that they know that the game is going to come out and be much cheaper very much sooner. But
right.
on Steam, that's the way it is. Okay. And then we released it on PlayStation Network for PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita in March of this year. And that has gone just really, really well as well. And then at the end of August 2014, it was time for the Wii U release.
Well, Well, officially, sort of context, people, we're not necessarily recording this at the end of August, but so we're just before that release. This is no big behind the kitchen, so we're just before the Wii U release, but I can say it's pretty good.
Right. Yeah, you've played it.
And I played it.
We're very happy with it. It looks exactly the way we had hoped for it to look on the Wii U. And the gamepad, I must say, performs. It's a lot more fun to play with a gamepad. And this sounds ridiculous, but playing Steam Will Dig on the Wii U has actually made me fall in love with the gamepad. Before, I wasn't really convinced, but now I just love that you can sit and play. You have you play it on the TV and then you just walk off with it. You take it to the bathroom. It means that it is sort of two in one. I think it's a great handheld device, and it's also a great console, like a living room console. So there are so many things I think about the Wii U that could be communicated, about the greatness of that platform.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I like my Wii U a lot, and I play a lot of off-DV play here in the office because I don't usually have the time to always put the DV online.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a weird thing to see that platform not doing as well as you would have hoped, but there are still, like, decent games coming out for it. Like, especially on the indie side, I am really looking forward to what is coming still.
Yeah. And I think also with the push that Nintendo is doing now as well, I mean, everybody's looking forward to Super Smash Bros. Obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, it's so exciting. Anyway, I remember when we were having this discussion about the 3DS, you know, that, like, when is it going to take off? Is it a hit or is it a failure? I think the 3DS proved itself really well, but it certainly did not happen within the first months or maybe not even within the first year of the 3DS in existence.
Well, I think after like Mario hit the scene, it kind of ramped up. And maybe that's the thing for Wii U with Super Smash Bros., but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
But yeah, that's pretty good. So the sales have been overall improved, I suppose.
Yeah, it's very much beyond our expectations, I should say, in total. Sales have been very good, but we really didn't know how this would be received on other platforms.
Right.
A game coming from the 3DS, and you think, okay, am I even going to get high-definition graphics? Are they just going to port the graphics that you had on the 3DS to Steam and to PlayStation and so on? I think we've surprised people in other communities, and I think also this sounds like I'm selling it very hard, but it means that you can actually make a game for the 3DS, and it translates really well to other platforms. It's something that I hope that is an important thing to Nintendo, meaning that they can look at a very broad range of games and sort of think of it as platform strengtheners.
Or as a starting point for something greater.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, for something greater. The 3DS is great, but...
Yeah. The 3DS is a great place to start, really.
Yeah, I think it is. I really think it is.
Yeah. So, well, that's good. Thank you very much for that update. But let's talk why we're actually here about a year later. Which is kind of crazy when you think about that, actually. I want you to officially unveil again to the audience and talk a bit about the story in this one.
Sure. Okay, so the game that is coming out is called SteamWorld Heist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a turn-based combat game set in space and starring your favorite steam-driven robots that now no longer have a planet to live on. The cowbots that we are following in SteamWorld Heist is sort of a ragtag band of steam-driven robots that sort of just do a lot of heist missions, and they're sort of like space pirates, you could call them. And
right.
they, they're sort of living from day to day, trying to survive. But just like in Dig, there is definitely a set story to the game. It has a very defined starting point and a very defined end. But mm-hmm. also, and so you'll be doing a lot of missions within the game, but you will have, just like in SteamWorld Dig, you will have a lot of player freedom, meaning that you can go off and do all kinds of side missions that you want to, and they will be there waiting for you. You can sort of play the game exactly at the pace that you want.
Cool. We're getting all of the in those all of those aspects like separately later in the discussion, but first I have to admit something to the audience. I played of it a bit during Gamescom. Okay, I'm bragging a bit. I'm sorry. And thank you firmly for that. So what I want to do here, and this is rather unusual for me during an interview, but I kind of want to tell how what I felt and like work from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm nervous now. Can we edit the bad parts out?
We can definitely edit the bad parts out if it becomes too rambly for our likings. Don't worry, I have mostly just good things to say.
Okay.
So, well, that's first played SteamWorld Heist. What I found is just so it is a side-scrolling strategy game.
That's right. It's 2D, like. What we do is 2D games, yeah. So it's a 2D side-scrolling game.
Keeping to what you do best, absolutely. So you can have limited space to walk forward upon. And if you go beyond that space, you can walk like a little beyond, then you have no reason anymore or no, you can't attack anymore. But
that's
if you, but if you keep within that range, you can shoot or use a certain object at your enemies, try to destroy them, bring them down, and move across the level and collect loot.
That's right. It works like most turn-based combat games, meaning that you can walk, you will have indications of how far you can walk and still fire weapons after you walk that distance.
Right.
Or you can decide to sort of use all of your action points, if you want to call them that, to move all that way. But then you sort of lost the energy to fire a weapon or do something attack wise. Yeah.
Yeah. And from off that point, it becomes like a very tricky situation because you have to quickly manage from how you're going to shoot those enemies, how you will bring them down. Shoot for various fabrics of the environment to get to those enemies, get to the loot, get out of there, and finish the mission as quickly as you possibly can.
That's the thing, because if you're sort of hanging around and taking detours, alarms will start sounding and so on, and some really tough baddies will just come at you in a steady stream, and you won't have a chance. So you have to sort of, it's a strategy game, definitely, because you're not only managing one character. I mean, in the beginning, you're growing your team the entire time. So you sort of have to start thinking strategy-wise about the game. And there will be a lot of opportunities for you to attack and lots of different things you'll be able to do. But there'll be lots of obstacles as well, just to turn every mission into something interesting.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, that was the gameplay slide that I played. And again, it was kind of limited because it was just an idea of what the game was like, first and foremost. So, is there anything I missed in that scenario that you want to elaborate on before we continue?
Well, to the listeners, I want to say, you're going to hate me for this, Dan, but I think you died. I'm not sure you survived very long.
I will get into for the reasons why I found it so tricky, but yeah, that was definitely true. I died a couple of times, and mostly for good reasons.
Very good. I was the thing was also the demo that you played is just the core gameplay, the very very basics, and so That was just to sort of give out the mechanics, the unique mechanics that we have in the game, and to show you sort of what you can expect from the core
experience
of the game, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think there's tons of bells and whistles to stick on there, but there'd be lots of things that you didn't. Maybe you have some more questions about the
game. Well, that's definitely going to happen.
Sure.
So in SteamWorld Dig, because this is something I could not have experienced in the demo, because again, it was just a gameplay slice. In SteamWorld Dig, you had to keep your health in check, but also a light. Are there some similar mechanics in SteamWorld Heist?
Yes, very good. It's all of those things. It's because they are still steam-driven robots, and the gameplay is just completely different. I mean, SteamWorld Dig was called Dig because that's the core mechanic. You dig.
Right. Yeah.
And then the core mechanic of SteamWorld Heist is heisting, meaning that you go and collect or steal loot from other ships, hopefully from bad people who deserve that you steal their loot.
Yeah.
But just like in Dig, there is this exactly same thing that you have to sort of manage your resources. You will have coal will be one thing that, and the coal is sort of the light in SteamWorld Dig. But coal will work on two levels in Heist. You will have your spaceship that you're traveling with. If that runs out of coal or water, which you need both, obviously, to be steam driven, then you can't travel around space. So you have to sort of find these pockets of coal and water out in space as well. And then you, also individually, the characters, they will, since they're in combat, they will lose health and so on. And you have to be careful with that. So even on an individual level, if you stay out for too long on a heist mission, then, that is going to be an issue as well. And also, obviously, they're robots. If you get shot, a leg will fall off and you won't be running, or an arm falls off so you won't be shooting.
Right.
Right. So
that's another thing I couldn't see in the demo, which will possibly be more evident in the full game.
Oh, yeah, hopefully. Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. So what I have now currently in my head, like making like a turn-based strategy game, like side-scrolling one, doesn't seem like in particular like easy thing to like accomplish. Are there like benefits or struggling by doing it in this fashion?
The thing is that we make the games that we want to make. It's a very important point because, you could sort of look at the market and think, oh, we should make like a Candy Crush Saga copy or something.
No. let's not get into that argument.
We're not going to talk about that. But what I mean is that we are really fans of turn-based combat games. We love a lot of different types of games. In the future, you'll see that as well, because we'll be making so many different types of games. But I mean, I'm being very old-fashioned there, and I think that the best game in the universe is chess. It's just so fair, and you could argue that that's a turn-based strategy game, and so it's sort of the mother of the turn-based.
I'm more of a checkers person myself, but fair enough.
So what we wanted to do is do it in our fashion, to make a 2D game that could be made really interesting. You could make turn-based strategy interesting in 2D. And I would say that the way that we've made it, it's turned into a really fascinating game. And I think we've again managed to sort of mash up a few different types of gameplay elements and sort of borrowed a little bit there and a little bit from here. And yes, it's been a struggle doing it, because finding the fun in a game is it's vital. If you can make a game and you can accomplish what you set out to do, but if that game is, if it turns out that it's not fun to play, you don't really know that from the beginning. It's like that's something that you have to sort of extract from what you are doing.
There was also a struggle a lot in Dig. And that's, oh. Yeah, in the two interviews we had, that's clearly evident.
Oh yeah, tell me about it. Well, it was tough.
Yeah.
But so I'd say that there are benefits of making a turn-based strategy game as a 2D side scroller, but there are struggles as well, because you have to find the fun. It can't be too easy to kill an enemy and so on.
Yeah. So we kind of discussed this earlier, like with me many times dying over and over. Thank you for that. What I enjoyed so much about the demo is that there is such a fine line between like victory and failure. Like we said, you can move as close to enemies as much as you want, but it's all about how you bring down those enemies. And those gun controls like really require you to be like extremely twitchy and precise, which can kind of prove kind of challenging.
Right. And it's one of the fun things in the game that like when you're aiming, you don't have a steady aim. It's a sort of wobbly, and it's a brilliant little mechanism, I think, because if you had a steady aim, then you could fire, and if you had like the ability to fire again, then you would just immediately shoot exactly the same shot. And but with this little wobble, it makes it so exciting, because you can be really good at it, but you sort of have to take your time and just take the shot exactly when you want.
Right. It's kind of tricky in that regard, because I made some blunders through that demo, like very much and often.
Me too.
Yeah. But it requires you to really keep a good focus, because your line of sight is also like extremely small. Mm. So you are never secured of a pure victory.
Exactly. You don't know if you're going to hit perfectly or not. So it means that I like that, because I can imagine if I ever got into a combat situation in real life, I wouldn't be cool as a cucumber. I would fire the gun just all over the place and just sort of hope to hit something before I emptied the magazine. So that's something that we want to capture, that the line between victory and failure is, like you say, it's a very thin line. I mean, if you manage to kill that guy who is very close to you, or could potentially be very close to you in the next round, if you don't manage to kill him, he's going to kill you. So you got to always ponder, am I going to take this shot, or should I run away to get hide in a better place? Or how should I do this?
I usually said, I'm going to walk away now. Yeah. And then I took a couple of easier missions, and then I got enough loot for two people.
Right.
But we'll get into that in that mechanic a little bit later. So the environments, we kind of touched upon this, like the environments are built to do some crazy moves, like letting shots flick against the wall, shooting for certain parts of the environment, and taking on those long distance shots. Was the game made to be experimental, or was it something that happened like naturally throughout the development, really?
Some of them we had thought out before we started experimenting with them. Like, for example, we really wanted to have We want you to have the ability to ricochet shots, like you shoot at a wall and you would hit someone in the back instead of, because they've sort of protected themselves very well. Right. But also they're environmental things, like you can shoot a hole in a wall so you can escape that way, or take a shortcut, or you can like, there will be the obvious chandeliers hanging from the ceiling that you can sort of shoot and have them drop on the enemy, like sort of Tantan style. And so there will be many, many different things that you can do. And we had quite a few of them down on paper from the beginning, but some of them have also been added, because I should also tell you that Image and Form, we don't have the game down on paper when we start working it. It's constantly evolving. Like something that we decided not to do 1 week can almost be on the hit list 2 weeks later. And also, like, we like to try things out. So we've spent a lot of time getting the basic systems, the major systems in place. And we've also spent a lot of time sort of deciding on which technologies to sort of not pursue with the game. Like, okay, this didn't work, let's try this. Yeah, that didn't work either, let's try this. That works kind of well. If we mix this with the first one, maybe it could be interesting. Oh, that's very good. There's nobody at Image and Form saying at one point, wait a minute, that's not in the game design document. Because then we rather edit the game design document afterwards.
Yeah. And there will be like 10 million versions of one game design document.
Right.
I can't really imagine it being that fun at all.
No, it's right. So it's easier sort of, we design some things on paper and then we design a lot of things through experimenting.
Mm-hmm. So, while playing the demo, I went to various bars and get like new crew members, and they got added to my lineup. What is so important about these is that they each have a special ability. Can you name a few examples?
Sure. It's like, for one, you will have you're playing the captain, obviously. Captain Piper. She is She's a really cool character, and it's not a coincidence that it's a she. And she will go to bars and recruit new crew members when she has enough money to do so. And these will have special abilities. Like, one guy will be very good at snipering, for example. He will have like a very good gun from the beginning, and then that gun will subsequently be upgraded to become like a super sharpshooter gun. But then you will also be able to recruit more all-round characters, and also like brutes that can take very much damage but probably don't deal that much damage. And then also importantly, you will get like engineers to your team as well. Like if you board another spaceship, then the enemies might choose to sort of break the floor so that you can't enter further into the ship. And then you need an engineer to fix that before you can advance.
Hmm.
And also maybe if you want to steal something from that ship, you will need engineers to detach it from, like if it's a really cool modern engine in that ship and you want it for your own ship, then you will need those guys to sort of unscrew it. Right.
Nice. So you kind of touched on upgrades. How many like are there in the game? Because I can figure it will be kind of risky with the for hire robots, because after they die, they don't really come back. But the captain needs to evolve over the course of the game, right?
Yeah, the captain will definitely evolve in all ways, like all the characters. Because, like you just said now, like if the captain dies, well, you're not gonna. It's not like the game is going to start from very square one, but in a sense it will. You will. I think we will work it so that you will keep the upgrades that you have for the captain, but the captain mm-hmm. will be alone again. So, but with the crew members that you recruit, there's a very interesting dynamic there, because how much are you going to spend on upgrading them if you're always going to put them first in line when you enter a ship?
Right.
So there's like a fine line to walk there, and we will have a huge number of characters to choose from with a little bit different abilities, and then you will have a certain number of upgrades for each character. And it's like upgrades for different aspects of everything as well. I mean, you will upgrade their their health, you will upgrade their weapons, their storage capacity, what have you. I can't remember them all now.
It's kind of brutal when you lose them then.
Yeah, it's very sad actually, because you sort of get fond of them too, because there will be a lot of, depending on what character you get, there will be a lot of discussions with those. You will be talking to those characters. We'll try to make it so that they're not cardboard characters just ready to take a bullet, but rather that they will be characters in the game, and you don't want to lose. It's like in a movie. If one of the main characters that you really sympathize with, if they go and die midway through the movie, then you're sort of, then you're really surprised, right? And a little bit sad. Hopefully you'll be very, you'll love your characters enough that you're just very careful.
I am. That's why I have started so much in Fire Emblem Awakening.
Right. All right.
Yeah. For I played that game 6 times at this point, so I don't know.
Wow. Jeez.
So enough about weapons and upgrades, and I kind of want to talk more about the setting. Yep. So the game, like you kind of said in the beginning, the game is more open than SteamWorld Dig like ever was. Mm. Was this a path you kind of like chose earlier on?
Yeah, it was very important to us, because the only real thing that we were dissatisfied with regarding Dig was the length of the game. There was, I think Dig is a fabulous game when it comes to polish and upgrade cycle, even you know, audio design and everything, but it was too short. As you remember from our old talks, we ran out of money. We couldn't make it any longer. We had to sort of stop developing it. But the thing with Heist is that we can design it to be very much longer, because we now can decide, dynamically, we can put in a lot of different missions, etc., for the players.
Right.
And there won't be a way to sort of complete the game in 3 hours or 4 hours. It will be much longer than that. And that means that, and obviously hopefully the player will stay entertained the whole time. I mean, I'm sure we could make a game that is 100 hours long and really boring. But what I mean is that we will make a game that contains a lot of playtime and will be interesting from start to finish. And that's the sort of game that we want to make.
How do you kind of like keep them interesting? Because Heist is more open, you will have to trigger the player like a little bit more to keep playing.
Sure. It'll be a lot more open, but it will definitely not be a sandbox game. There will be sort of, there will always be like a pointer towards this thing is next. This mission is what you should go after next. And that next story mission, I mean, there could be lots of side missions that you want to do during that time. And you won't be able to take on that next story mission maybe, because you would be too weak to sort of engage with those sort of enemies.
Kind of, does the game that tell you that upfront, like you're a bit too weak for this mission?
I think there will be pointers like that. Maybe you will have characters in the game who are sort of like Mr. Spock. I shouldn't use him, but like very, very clever, like robots that, I predict that this mission is just going to be too tough to take on at this point. Maybe we should try to upgrade our stuff and get some more crew members before we try that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but we won't be stopping anyone from doing whatever they want in the game, because
definitely no. That's not a good thing to do. But it's like giving them a warning up front from, look, maybe it's not a very good idea.
Right, and then maybe if you're extremely skillful, it could still work. But So it's like
as long as the game is balanced well, it shouldn't be too much of an issue. But
right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So, What I like is how you lock into places and like explore new environments every time. Are there parts like predetermined and others randomized, just like Dig?
That's very good. In Dig, we were the worlds, the shafts, the mine shafts were actually randomized, meaning that you would pick up minerals, etc., in randomized locations.
Right. Yeah.
And also the caves where you would find upgrades, they were randomized, but within certain parameters, like within this sort of space, within these 10 meters, this cave has to appear. Otherwise, the upgrade loop won't work. Mm-hmm. In Heist, a lot more things will be randomized. For example, the enemy ships will be randomized also in the same way that if you, let's say that you have a medium, you're running into an enemy that is sort of a medium difficulty. And then you board that ship, and that's what you see in the game. You board that ship, and you see your own ship sort of like from the side, and you also see the other ship from the side.
Mm-hmm.
That ship, the enemy ship, is going to be randomized every time. Like the locations of the enemies within that ship are going to be randomized. So mm-hmm. you're not going to run into like a difficulty level 3 ship that looks like a difficulty level 3 ship. It's going to be roughly that hard to beat that enemy, but the room locations and everything are going to be different from it, like every time. We've experimented so much with it, and now we see the fruits of that. It's really interesting because you never know what you're going to run into.
Yeah. So I kind of want to close this sort of section with the question, like, where did the idea of like Heist stem from? Do you have like other ideas like that for the future, like different ideas?
Yes. And the fun thing is this, Dan, that when you and me talked the first time, my plan was really to go with SteamWorld Dig 2. And then we sort of changed that tack and said, but that's so obvious. If we make SteamWorld, everybody expects us to make SteamWorld Dig 2 now. What can't we make like the prequel to SteamWorld Dig? And then we thought, oh, that's a great idea. So we started working on the prequel. And so we have a vertical slice of the prequel to SteamWorld Dig. And then we also have like the game design document for SteamWorld Dig 2. But we chose to break it off because that was like 2 months after, just immediately after Dig's release, we had started working on the prequel. And then we had to break it off after 2 months because then we got the opportunity to put SteamWorld Dig out on Steam. And that meant we had to produce a high-definition version of SteamWorld Dig. And it took up all of our resources. And so we sort of had to just put it on hold for a while. And then one day, Ole Håkansson, who is, I think you met him at Gamescom, who is our lead designer.
Right.
Who is one of the very brilliant people who works at Imageform. He just took me aside one morning and said, listen, I've been thinking about, I came up with this idea. He came up with the idea when he was drinking beer with his brother, who also works at Imageform. And so they said, and just, people do that here. They come up with ideas and then they sort of let it brew a little bit, and then they present it to
let it brew beer. I see what you did there.
Sorry about that one.
That's a good pun.
So he showed me the idea and everything. It had everything except it wasn't a SteamWorld game. It was presented it as a space game, and I said that's great, but let's do that instead on one condition that we can fit it in with the SteamWorld universe, because it fits so well. It would be so wonderful to have something as stupid as steam-driven robots and steam-driven spaceships running around like shards of Earth that are revolving around a core. And what we did first then was make sure that it fit in with the rest of the lore of SteamWorld, and it works really well.
Okay.
So you will actually also see some things that appeared in Dig are going to appear in Heist as well.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, it seems that you still have many ideas to go.
Oh, yeah.
But also, we'll never know what a prequel game is for Longwell.
No, the prequel game is going to be excellent too. I played the vertical slice of that game, and it's a different game. Again, that's a third kind of gameplay. But I was so thrilled when I played the vertical slice. But the reason why we decided to sort of not make that now and go with SteamWorld Heist instead is that we made SteamWorld Dig, and it's been so well received. And the prequel, no matter how we twisted and turned it around, it proved to be just a simpler game than Dig. And we wanted to follow up to surprise everybody, not only with the game idea, but also with the scope of the game. To make a big, brilliant game. Not to be this artist who makes a great record and then comes out and makes exactly the same record or something much worse.
But it's not unthinkable that we'll ever not see the light of day sometime.
Well, yeah, that game will definitely see the light of day because it's a brilliant game, that prequel. I love it very much, but it's somewhat smaller in scope.
Okay. So, SteamWorld Heist is coming to the 3DS. Well, I think we said coming initially, but I'm not sure. We'll see. Is it unthinkable that it will see or come to other platforms?
No, it's... what we're going to aim for is to have SteamWorld Heist on all platforms.
Is it the same lineup like SteamWorld Dig? Is like PlayStation, Wii U, Steam going to be included?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So it's coming to Wii U eventually too.
That's what I wanted to say there is that the release sequence isn't, I'm not going to say anything about that right at this point, but we've shown Heist to the platform, to all of the major platform owners, and we've only gotten very good reactions. So it means that if they would have hated it, then we couldn't have forced our way onto the platform. But it looks...
You said platform holders, so you're suggesting that you also showed it to Microsoft.
Well, it's... We would very, very, very much like to be on Xbox One as well. I think.
So you're kind of saying like most tags plus Xbox is a possibility.
Yep, I would say that. And okay. We don't. The way we operate is, it suits us very well to bring our games to all platforms because it means we can. We're still so small that. We have to focus or concentrate very hard on on one platform at a time so that we can talk to the communities, one community at a time. We're never going to be so, what do you call it, so rich or so cool that we can afford that we can afford to not to talk to all of our fans. We need to continue to do that, and we want to do that. So meaning that, let's say that it comes out on the 3DS first, then we want to talk to all of our 3DS fans for a number of months. That doesn't mean that we're going to flip them the bird after that, that we're going, when we go to PlayStation.
No, it's definitely not the case. I mean, definitely with the way that SteamWorld Dig went is, like, you first talked for a couple of months to 3DS. You still talk to them, but also kind of talk to, like, other people who got introduced to the game, new people who came in, and then it became all like a big bunch of people who liked SteamWorld Dig.
Yeah. So that's how we have to continue to do it. Sort of, you remember the key word last time is love, right? I mean, you gotta love your games and you gotta love your audience because I think
the 3DS audience is pretty much filled with love right now.
You gotta imagine that. It's like you make a game and there's some guy in Argentina or in Russia or in New Zealand that takes the time to write to us to tell us that we made a great game. I mean, how can we possibly not answer that guy back and tell him how much we appreciate to hear from him or her?
It's, right.
Because it's a feeling that you cannot beat. It's so gratifying to have people talk to you about the stuff that you make. And you remember also what I said, that when we made mobile games, we couldn't have that interaction with people, because we would only get their reviews on the App Store, and there's no way that we don't know who they are, really. We can't interact with them. So it's new to us, and we're very humble about it. We really want to keep talking to everybody.
Yeah. But we'll see if that's 3DS first. Hopefully it will. We'll see. I'll looking forward to replaying it so many times after that initial platform. So you said something previously about SteamWorld Dig 2. Mm-hmm. So we have talked about like the prequel. Is SteamWorld Dig 2 still something you can consider later? Or
yeah, I can answer that really easily. Yes, we're going to make SteamWorld Dig 2.
You're going to make SteamWorld Dig 2. Okay. Yeah. Because the last time it was a possibility, this time it seems like you are definite about that.
That's very good, because at that point we didn't, like I said just before now, it's like everybody or many people were expecting us to make SteamWorld Dig 2 immediately after SteamWorld Dig.
Yeah, I saw the response on Twitter. It's like many people were saying, I want SteamWorld Dig 2 right now. I played the first one. I really liked it.
Right.
That's usually how those things go, right? It's like after you play the first game, it becomes that game. But it seems like you don't necessarily don't want to do that.
How can I answer that without sounding pompous? But what we wanted to do is...
Yes, I think the thing you want to say is you want to do... Not necessarily... You want to do not do games back and back and do something different every single time.
Right. We want to surprise people. And we want because it's an ego thing, too. It's like, God damn it, these people could even make like a turn-based combat game work really well. That's fantastic. What can't they do? And then towards the end, Dan, then Nintendo will have to give us Metroid, the next Metroid game to work on. Secretly. Okay.
Well, I don't know how that will go.
No, but so SteamWorld Dig 2 is definitely coming out, and perhaps also SteamWorld Dig 3.
What?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, come on, man.
No, it depends on how much of the story we can fit into Dig 2. Because I think there is so much to be told after Dig that there could be two really great games.
So are you expecting to have a very long story then in those two upcoming Dig games?
Well, it could be like that we cram everything into a Dig 2. But there are some really separate things that we want to tell. So... Dig 2 is definitely coming, and if that game, if it becomes too big, then we might split that up into Dig 2 and Dig 3. And it's not to milk people, it's just that we want to, there's so much about SteamWorld that we want to tell.
The story is already in your head, but then you don't know how long it's gonna be.
It's sort of, like I said before, it's like we have it in our heads and we have it on paper, but the way we do things here is we experiment a lot while we are making the games, and so we never know if the paper version is going to be the finished game.
Right.
But there's so much story to tell. Yeah.
Fair enough. So I think I've asked almost anything that I wanted to ask, and we're almost roughly running to 50 minutes. Are there other things that you still want to mention before we close off the show, the charade for the time being?
It's that I want you to sort of look forward to what we talk about during SteamWorld Heist or during the development of SteamWorld House, because this time, as you remember, Dan, with Dig, we put out one press release 3 months before release, and then we talked about it. It feels like a week before release we started talking about it. But this time, we are going to keep more of an even news flow. That's at least what we're hoping to do, so we can sort of show stuff from the game. And so, yeah, if there's one last thing, is just stay tuned. I think we are going to make one of the greatest games that you've played.
Cool. So when is the game releasing, you think?
We are hoping, we have set our own deadline at February 2015. But like with Dig,
it's a gray line.
Right, it's a gray line. It's not a dead. Yeah. It's a very. It's not a deadline. It's a very injured line.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a line with a broken leg.
Yeah, it's a broken leg. It's not a deadline. So, yeah. Initially, I really wanted Heist to be released in December of 2014, and it was just sort of it was an ego thing, because I really wanted to be able to release one game per year, meaning that we had one release in 2013, and then we would have a new release also in 2014.
Right.
But there are so many things to put into Heist. There it's so much a bigger effort than we expected from the beginning, that now we are looking at being done by the end of the year and releasing it in February. But if we feel that we need to polish things or put more features into the game, then we can, I think we still can afford to work on it another month or two.
Sure.
If people want to donate money to us so that we can make an even greater game, don't be a stranger, please.
they need all the money in the universe, and mostly all of your love.
Well, with the love, I hope we're getting, and the money is a joke.
Just buy SteamWorld Dig if you haven't already.
Yeah, buy SteamWorld Dig on every platform. That will certainly help.
buy it on Wii U.
Yeah.
Go play it on your gamepad.
Yeah.
It's not that difficult.
Right. It's not difficult, and it's a game that chances are that you actually will like that game a lot.
Yeah.
So, get it.
I played it a lot recently on my gamepad. It feels pretty good. I don't know, guys. You just get it. I think we should bring this to a close then. I want to thank you so very much for doing roughly 3 hours of interviews with me.
Well, it's not the last 3 hours either, Dan. I enjoy this so much. Thank you very much.
So it's the first 3 hours of many hours of too many hours.
Yep.
So I think we're going to continue another hour after we're done this one. thank you so much, Brian.
Okay, thank you.
I want to thank all the people for listening, because they've listened to us talk for 50 minutes, which is incredible. So thank you very much to those people. And I wish you all a very good day. I don't know which time you're listening to this. It could be morning, could be afternoon, could be evening. It could be any time of the day. It would be wonderful. But hey, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you all the next time. Bye-bye.